召回选举。It's got to be perfect. It's got to be worth it. Too many people.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
Hi, Tim. I wasn't allowed to talk about the weather, you said, but the weather's been very extreme here. So we have over 1,000 houses damaged, and we have 15,000 people homeless because of flooding and incredible winds. And, you know, it's like maybe climate change does happen.
Yeah, maybe it's real. My God.
Maybe it's real.
Maybe the scientists weren't lying to us all of those years.
Yes, maybe they were right.
That's almost worse than having actual climate change, is scientists being right about something.
It's been an extraordinary time.
But you've only seen the tail end of this because you've been gallivanting all around the world from one country.
No, but as soon as I came back on Wednesday and on Thursday, this whole thing started. So I haven't had much time to adjust. New York was 35 degrees, heat wave. Yes. You get here and it's like freak weather. So it's from one freak weather to another. It's quite scary, actually.
But how was America in general? Did you enjoy it?
America in general, I loved it. Yes, I love America. For me, I love everything about America. Ugly things, I find them all fascinating. And so when we walked like in no man's land in LA looking for a coffee place. I'm a geographer by trade, but the layout of LA is a complete mystery to me. There seems to be no logic to it. Normally you have a city center and the suburbs and then the suburbs of the suburbs, etc. Atlanta had that a bit as well, actually. And you think, I walk for 5 minutes, I'll find a nice place. No way.
Right.
And we walked towards Hollywood Boulevard and everything. It's not like we walked in the suburb of the suburb, but Hollywood Boulevard was like half an hour. And 5 minutes before you reach Hollywood Boulevard, finally there were a few things where you could have a cup of coffee. Anyway, I had a glorious
time. Aren't you struck about how different America is from the way that you see it from the outside? Because the way that you see it from the outside is all about politics. Maybe all countries are a little bit like that, but particularly now in America, the only thing that people notice about America now is the crazy politics. And yet inside America, the politics is like, it's part of people's lives, but not the main thing,
When I was in the South a couple of years ago, there was people put those things in the garden, those Trump or whoever was, I think it was Clinton at the time, Hillary. But this time I saw not a single garden with any of the candidates.
Oh, interesting.
And what you do occasionally see is dark gardens that are decorated with all sorts of American paraphernalia, red, white, and blue stuff, and they look like little rosettes or like stuff that shows how patriotic you are. But that's about it, which is quite a relief. I was there the day of the debate between Biden and Trump. And asked people, I had a few appointments that day. I said, are you going to watch the debate? Oh, it's today, isn't it? Oh, no, I'm not going to. I may watch the highlights. That was the attitude. Right. And these were very well-educated people who worked for publishers, Bloomsbury and stuff. So it wasn't like your average oak on the street. And I thought, okay, it doesn't really live in the minds of the people very much. It might start now after the disaster. Yes. For Joe.
You did see quite a lot of great music. So let's just play something from what you heard live.
What I witnessed.
Caught out round with just a little too much to hide. Maybe, baby, everything's gonna turn out fine. Please read the letter. I nailed it to your door. It's crazy how it all turned out. We needed so much more. Too late to
too late. A fool could read the signs. Maybe, baby, you better check between the lines. Please read the letter. I wrote it in my sleep. With help and consultation from the angels of the deep.
Isn't it an amazing song?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's incredible. And he's giving up. I can't believe it. This is Alison Krauss and the most unlikely folk singer that you've ever heard in your life.
Who? Robert Plant?
Yeah.
The way he started out in a folk band way back in the 60s. Yeah. And Led Zeppelin had quite a bit of, certainly after the second album, quite a bit of folk and country things in their music. Yeah, no, I saw them in New York on Long Island, and it was part of the Outlaw tour with Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson, who was sick. So his son stood in for him, who was actually really good. But for me, the highlight was Plant and Krauss. I mean, I grew up with Led Zeppelin like you, and I loved them, but they were unobtainable always. They were like mega stars, the Who you could identify with a bit, and the Kings and even the Stones, but Zeppelin were out there and unreachable. And then he stood there with that Alison Krauss, who's got a beautiful voice. I was afraid those songs wouldn't go down well, because it was quite a big auditorium and it was outside and open. It was the bum of the auditorium was in the ocean, basically. And these are intimate songs. Yes. And the thing could hold 15,000 people. So I think about a third of them came for Plant and Krauss, and a third for Dylan, and a third for Willie Nelson, judging by the T-shirts. And right. But they did it so well. The sound was incredible. And they mixed songs from that first album they did together with old Led Zeppelin tunes, which really surprised me. I thought he didn't want to touch Zeppelin anymore because of the history and right. Jimmy Page not being there, but he did Rock and Roll, which is like one of the loudest songs they ever did. And then they had the violin instead of Page's guitar, right. But he could still, his voice is lowered a bit, but he could still do the same intonation, the same yelps, shrieks, sighs, everything. It was okay. Like I was astonished, and I'm so glad I saw it.
Oh, great. Strangely enough, the tone of that song is similar to this one. Take a listen. Okay, well, that's Ingrid Michaelson. She's an American singer, composer, actress, et cetera, et cetera. I was watching a series called The Veil. TV programs now are being very kind of choosy about the music that they play. Often it's very good songs that you've never heard. And then you think, oh, my God, what's that?
You get Shazam out.
I Shazammed it, of course, and they went out and found Michaelson. She's been around for ages. She's 8 studio albums, 13 singles. Oh, really? But you know why I think it's interesting? She's actually, this is not a very normal song for her. She's more a sentimentalist singer, very beautiful. And she hasn't had a huge hit ever, but she streams about 2 million songs a month on Spotify. And I did a little calculation for what that means. And 2 million songs is quite low on the list, but you would earn about double minimum wage. Yeah.
Minimum wage or American minimum wage?
No, American minimum wage. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
If you think you also get from Apple and from the other streaming services, this is a living. And I just thought it's just incredible. It plays into this debate, I don't know whether you've been following it, about whether now is the worst time for music or now is the best time for music.
I heard it.
Just struck me that if there's an argument on the now is the best time for music, actually artists like her are a good example. People who you would never, ever have heard of when we were growing up now are very available to you, and you might not love them, but occasionally they come up with great songs like this one.
No, totally true. I listened to a debate about it actually yesterday where people said it's the best time for music because, as you say, everything is at your laptop. You just have to click and you will find some. Whereas before, you depended on a few music magazines and the radio, and that was it. And you were very lucky if a friend of yours had an album by some artist that you never heard of and played it, and you thought, wow, that's amazing. And then you had to try and find it as well. But I guess it's very discouraging for a lot of musicians. On the one hand, you can make your music available to whoever wants it. On the other hand, it's very hard to make a living. I mean, this 2 million streams is quite a lot. And merch. No merch.
Yeah, and merch. yes, that's right. All right, well, let's move on. This our podcast is about kissing. And
can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why did you pick the subject of kissing?
For a lot of reasons. But first of all, kissing is the moment of great intimacy. And it's very meaningful, and it's a sort of formative period of people's lives. It's a sort of moment in relationships. It's just a very symbolic and powerful moment. So there's a lot of great songs about kissing, but it's also so intimate that it's a hard subject. But I also was thinking about there's three different kinds of songs, aren't there? There's songs that are great to kiss to. There's the kinds of songs that you put on when you are hoping to get intimate or wanting, praying, or this will be an intimate moment, or the DJ thinks that this is a good moment to get intimate. I don't know. And they're very nostalgic for me, the sort of songs that you listen to, that you kiss to. But there's also songs about kissing. So there's songs that you kiss to and songs that are on the subject of kissing. Of course, there's the band, which I noticed neither of us.
Yes, I forgot about that. I should.
What do you think about kissing? Do you think it's slightly too embarrassing to talk about?
No, I find kissing fascinating because what I noticed in South Africa is that many people kiss you on the mouth, even if you have no relationship beyond just being friends. And in Holland, that's whoa. People step back. If it's like a sign of something more serious, if you kiss somebody on the mouth, you could do it after a really intense, nice evening with somebody who's not your partner, and then you part and you give this person a kiss on the mouth. But that's about it. And of course, there's also all the stuff about how many times do you kiss? The French do it 3 or 4 times. In Holland, we do it 3 times.
Can I just say it's ridiculous. I just think it's ridiculous. You spend an enormous amount of time kissing when you greet a group of people in France.
And also some can be quite off-putting. And you think, oh, must I kiss this person?
Yeah, I mean, why I think it's an interesting subject for music is because it just illustrates music's power of really getting close. You know what I mean? You don't often have passages in books, I suppose in bodice rippers or something, but you don't often have long descriptions of kissing in books. It's not really a subject that you can go into. Music, it's quite this. I don't know what you found, but I found there were lots of songs about it.
I never Google these things. I do it only from memory because I saw there was songs about kissing. When I looked up, I needed the video for one of the songs. And then I thought, okay, there's whole lists of songs about kissing, obviously, which I didn't use.
No, I choose the songs, and then sometimes I Google to see if I missed anything that was obvious, which is stupid because you always have. The song that I missed was a song called, here we go, Kiss by Prince.
I thought it was too obvious.
No, that's right. The other thing about kissing I think that is interesting, it's just very weird. It's a weird thing for people to do, don't you think? It's a strange
habit.
Habit that human beings adopted. It's better than dogs sniffing.
We don't have such strong noses.
But what are you doing? You're sharing your body with that even healthy.
All the bacteria, everything. But there's a lot in that first kiss, isn't there? I mean, if you fancy somebody and then you give that first kiss and it can be an absolute delight or a total disaster. And it's the key to many other things.
It's always so embarrassing because you could have been completely misreading the situation. You know what I mean? Yeah. It could be
I never have that.
Okay. I know, I've never had that either. But who initiates? How? When? What are you
exactly.
One of those? Which is why music is kind of useful, because sometimes there's certain songs that you put on, one in particular from my little selection, that just says absolutely 100% we're kissing now. If you don't want to, if you're not into some couch rugby, then really it's time to go quickly.
And you know, the song I forgot stupidly is Cliff Richard, Lucky Lips Are Always Kissing. That would have been the obvious job.
Huh? No, but as always, your choices are eclectic and interesting, and mine are completely obvious.
Well, let's go. Let's hear it. It's a good version, eh?
Yeah, tell us about it. Lipstick on Your Collar.
It's a song made famous by Connie Francis in, I think, 1959 or something. And it was one of the songs written in the Brill Building, which was where teams of songwriters had offices and wrote hit songs for people. And this was one of their songs. And yeah, I knew it, of course, because you heard it on the radio and I thought it was a clever song always. I like the lyrics, Lipstick on Your Collar, told me you were untrue. It's a nice little story, and the power of kissing comes across, and kissing the wrong spots. But then there was this Australian band, The Saints, who I think they were the first Australian punk band. They were formed in 1975 or something. You know, punk happened simultaneously all over the world without all these people knowing about each other, but they all got fed up with progressive rock and jazz rock and folk rock. I wanted to go back to the basics, and The Saints were one of them. But I love the singer. He's got such a good voice. And I love the guitar playing, and there's a sort of very melodic bass line in this as well. They did great covers. They also did River Deep, Mountain High in a very fast punk version. And I thought it's melodic. It's a great song. It's got very funny lyrics. It's like a little story, basically, isn't it? Yeah. And it's about the power of the kiss. So that's why I chose it.
Cool. All right. A song of the same ilk.
There used to be a grey tower alone on the sea. You became the light on the dark side of me. You know that when it snows, my eyes become large, and the light that you shine can't be seen. Baby, I can bring you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels. Yeah, and now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the bloom on the.
That's A Kiss from a Rose. Seal wrote it. I like the song. I wasn't wild about it. This YouTuber, Rick Beato, he does a set of videos on why the song is great. And he did this song And he just made it come alive. The technical issues of the song are really incredible because there's a lot of inversions in it. So these inversions happen when you are in a minor key and then you suddenly change to a major. And it just makes the song fantastically interesting. The instrumentation is full of these swells and everything's swelling up and it's all quite light. It's a Trevor Horn production, which is part of his style. But then it leaves you asking a lot of questions about what does he mean by a kiss from a rose? There's actually a line in the lyrics, which is really weird. I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the gray.
On the gray?
On the gray, yeah. So some people thought that was a kiss from a rose on the grave. But Rick Beato is so interesting. When he was doing his explanation, he called up Seal and asked him about... Oh, yeah. What did you mean by a kiss from the rose on the gray? Rick Beato said he's always asked this question. And he always asks in return, what do you think I meant? And then whatever the other person says, he agrees with them. So my understanding of that or my interpretation of that is that he just needed two more words. He didn't know what to mean. So nevertheless.
Maybe he did sing grave. And then people heard it as gray and they thought, oh, it's actually much more interesting, the gray than the grave. I don't know. I'm just making this up. But because a rose is beautiful and thorny, which is a nice little metaphor, I think.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's right. And the lyrics taken together are all about a relationship in doubt. The chorus line definitely works. But a remarkable songwriting effort, especially because something I didn't know was that Seal at the time, he didn't play an instrument. So he was doing all of this vocally, was tracing out the music vocally. And this is from his second album. And I always wondered why he didn't seem to take it much further. You know, he's liked the idea of being a songster, but wasn't crazy about it. He really never came back to music in a
No, I was going to say, wasn't he a bit of a one-hit wonder in some ways?
Yes, I know.
Yeah. So what do you think he meant by this gray or grave?
I think it was grave originally, and then he thought maybe that was a bit too harsh. Slightly off-putting when you talk about kissing. Okay, anyway, let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay, Fred, I can see this. I know exactly what's going on here. You are in the back of some seedy club in Rotterdam, and you and whoever you're dancing with sidle off to the right to the back of the dance hall and just snog like crazy.
It's that kind of song, isn't it? Yes. It's called Touch Me. But he does refer to kisses in the lyrics. The lyrics are quite basic, aren't they? And the music is very monotonous. It's a band called Suicide. Now, if you, these days, I don't think you would call your band Suicide anymore, because if you do Google and you do Suicide, you don't get to the band, I can tell you.
Yes.
You get to all sorts of other sites, but not to, so you always have to add band. And it was a duo that was formed in the early 70s in New York, in Manhattan. And they played electronic music. They had a singer and a guy playing all sorts of synthesizers and keyboards. And the singer was called Alan Vega, and the keyboard guy was Martin Rev. And they aligned themselves with the punk movement in the mid-70s. But this wasn't guitar music. This was electronic music. And this was like, you could say this was even more revolutionary than Kraftwerk, who came a bit later with that sound. Or Duff. Remember that German band called Duff?
Yes.
Did you ever hear them? And it's yep. like this kind of in between. I mean, Bruce Springsteen even covered one of their songs, I think, on Nebraska. Because he loved, I mean, it's got a sort of sometimes rockabilly feel to it, but then done with totally different instruments. But every album they did had one track that was like a slow ballad. The first one, it was called Cherie. And first I wanted to pick one of those. That's beyond kissing. It's other stages of this relationship. Whereas I think this touched me. It's the beginning of something happening. Right. You're, as you said, you're in some sleazy nightclub and it's late and they play this song and you found this person and you think, yeah, this could be lead into something more. And it's a perfect song for that. It's very sensuous, I would say.
Yeah, this is what you need from a kissing song, a great kissing song. You need something transportative. Is that such a word as
yeah.
You need something to transport you away from the reality that's going to lift you and
make you brave.
Yeah, and it's almost like being a little bit drunk.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that. Or something else.
Yes, exactly. And I, in fact, have exactly the right song to meet those criteria. Listen up.
Now the party's over, I'm so tired. Then I see you coming out of nowhere. Much communication in emotion. Without conversation or a notion.
All right, this is Avalon by Roxy Music, quite a well-known song. It's on this list for extremely personal reasons because my wife and I, it's our song. It's the song that we danced to at our wedding. And it wasn't the first song we kissed to, but it was right up there. And I just think it's a very beautiful song. It's got that same lush thing. It's got those lush, slightly spacey style to it and with this easy beat. And Avalon, of course, a mystical kingdom. So it is out of body. This came off the final album of Roxy Music. It was the 8th studio album. And I often wonder, you might know why they stopped there. This was, it was a bit of a sleeper hit, actually, Avalon, because it wasn't the big hit on the album. Nobody thought that it would do very well. It wasn't even one of the prepared songs when they went into the studio.
I always found it such a depressing song. Now
really?
The party's over. I'm so tired. Then I see you coming out of nowhere. Much communication and emotion. I used to have older friends. I still have older friends, but who swore by this song, but they were mainly people sort of longing for the days gone by. And it always reminded me of that. Sort of, we used to have a good time and now we're getting a bit old and the party is over. I can see what you mean. And it probably
But the party's over, it could mean two different things, because it could mean we are here dancing in the corner while everybody's left the party's. You know what I mean? And we're the ones still kissing in the background. And it's everyone.
My take was always, it's about missed opportunities, that sort of thing.
Right.
But I'm probably wrong. What I wanted to say about kissing, because that's what we're talking about, when I was in LA and in New York as well, is how many women have done that pumped up lip thing, where you put some stuff into your lips and they grow very big. And personally, I find it very unattractive. But I kept wondering, what it would be like to kiss those lips. And I don't think there's been any song yet about that subject. So maybe we should write one, but I haven't tried it yet. But also I wonder, and that we'll never know, what it's like, because I think you lose feeling in your lips. And lots of questions about these fake lips.
Yes, maybe it's the kind of supremacy of looks over touch or looks over feel. It's so much more important to look good than it is to feel good or to have the feeling.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
This is our brave new world. All right. Okay. Here's your last song. Okay, Susie and the Banshees, Desert Kisses. What have we got here? What is this? Why is this a good Susie and the Banshees song?
It's excellent. It's off their third album, Kaleidoscope. And after the second album, half the band left. The guitarist and the drummer said goodbye. So there was only Susie and the bassist, Steve Severin. And they made a new album with a few guests, and John McGeoch was the new guitarist, and they became incredibly experimental. So Gunn was that harsh sort of post-punk sound with slashing guitars, and it's a much warmer sound on that album. And it was also the first time that they tried their hand at slow songs, at ballads. And I always found this a very sensual song. It is about kissing. Kissing is in the title and in the lyrics. Right. But also, I love the sort of, I think you have the same with Avalon, the warmth. It's not like the Saints song was tak-a-dak-a-dak. This is like flowing, breezing, soft and mellow. And the lyrics, however, are very hard to understand. You can find the lyrics very easily. But it's surreal, dreamlike stuff. And I looked up for meaning, and the only thing I could find was Susie, who in a magazine called Zigzag in 1980 said, it's Banshee's ballad, not wet. It's a romantic, lonely song, Casablanca. It's very romantic. But I love the song, and I think it does the job in both ways. It's the melody, and then the whole vibe is very sensuous, and it's about kissing and kisses. So it's a double whammy for Susie.
Yeah.
Who was called the Ice Queen in her day, the Ice Queen. And she comes up with a song like this.
I noticed in the lyrics, there's quite a lot about the sea.
Sea and desert.
The oceans and those sorts of things. And crabs and sand. A bit like Avalon.
Yeah, it's an imaginary world. It reminded me a lot of the J.G. Ballard, the writer.
Yes, exactly.
Science fiction. And they always had covers with, if you bought the cheap pockets, had beautiful covers with Dali-like landscapes. And it reminds me a lot of that as well. But they're always very dystopian, those ballad books. And
And it's, you can see this in the lyrics a little bit too, because there's some bits where the lyrics are kind of harsh. Yeah. Yeah. So Susie, not so much a banshee as before.
She became much softer and sexier, I thought. I mean, there weren't many female punks, eh? It was like there was Susie, Penetration, and the Slits were the main female punk bands.
Yeah,
Susie and the Banshees was one woman with three guys. So she was a real role model for many girls in that time. The way she looked, and she was tough and proud and sexy. She was ideal.
And very intriguing as a person and as a songwriter. Just
well, she was
fascinating, uncompromising, clever.
She's still going. She was performing last year, I think, or this year. Not longer with the Banshees, but as Susie, but still doing those songs. And
all right, so now this is completely, totally, absolutely different, or is it?
Lonely time. Time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much. All you still more. Speed your love to me.
All right, this is the Righteous Brothers with Unchained Melody. What do you say about the song? I mean, it's just undeniable, I think. It wasn't originally written by the Righteous Brothers, of course. It was written long before. But there's some sort of real sort of curiosities about the song, which is just makes it completely undeniable. No song has been in the American charts by more singers. It's just a sort of go-to song for whenever you want to elbow the last piece of emotion out of your audience. I think it gets massive minus points because of being part of that scene in Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. Although you admire the fact that they chose the song. It was just such a clever song for that situation in which, you know, Demi Moore's working on a pot and it's like there's water going everywhere and the kind of sensuality of the touching of the potting turning wheel. And then Patrick Swayze creeps up behind her and helps her make the pot. A kind of complete orgasm of emotion and feeling. The other thing that I really love about it, of course, the Righteous Brothers, of course, were not brothers. They were a musical duo, but they decided that on all of their albums, they would each sing a solo, and they both wanted to sing the song because it was so obviously brilliant. And so the two of them, as they were Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield, so they flipped for it, and Bobby Hatfield won the coin toss. And I just wonder what would have happened if he hadn't gone the other way, because it just suits Bobby Hatfield's voice so fantastically. And it is sad because he died of an overdose quite early. Bill Medley went on to record a whole bunch of other important great hits. The other thing about it, of course, is that Unchained is actually weirdly the title of the song, but it's not in the lyrics of the song.
But where does the kissing come in now, Tim?
No, it's just because it's the song that you put on if you want to kiss, isn't it? This is the song that
I've never tried it.
You're alone at last, and you get one choice of one song to put on to indicate that now the kissing is going to start. What song do you reach for? Of course, you reach for Unchained Melody. And
Melody.
Then the brother is one because she or he is just bowled over, is captured in this extraordinary musical moment.
We're going to have a hard time now picking one. I think my three songs are by far the best.
I just don't think, when I go through all of these songs, I'm not sure that there is one that really nails it.
I think my two of my songs nail it. I'll Drop the Saints. It was a cover. It's a fun song. And I always like to bring in a bit of punk in the program. But I think both my other songs nail it completely. So I don't know why you say they don't nail it.
I would say the problem with Desert Kisses is, even though the kisses is in the title, it doesn't make me want to kiss anyone. And I think the down of Touch Me is that it doesn't get me musically. You know what I mean? I can get that you're in the back of the club touching at this point. Anyway, that would be my take on those two songs.
Okay. And which one would you drop from your three?
I wouldn't dare drop Avalon for marital reasons.
Preventing divorce.
And I don't know which of the other two I would... What do you think? Which one of the other two would you burn?
I didn't like either of them, so I would keep Avalon. That's fine.
You see what I mean? We just not hit it. We just haven't hit the mark.
No, you can. We can choose Avalon. If otherwise, it leads to divorce. And it was your subject. You chose it, so we can go with Avalon. I'm happy with that. Because
okay.
Otherwise, your wife will be waiting outside the door now and say, "Which one did you choose?" Disagree.
I appreciate it for spousal peace reasons. If
yes.
Nothing, even if it isn't in fact the perfect song. Okay, that was good fun.
That was great,
even though it was sort of very weird. And next week. We have a poet. Just tell us about it.
A poet and a writer. She's written poetry and a couple of novels. It's Finula Dowling. She's a South African author, poet, won several prizes. It's very versatile, I would say. She writes poetry that I like. It's not like incomprehensible or like some poetry you think, I have no idea what I'm reading here. But she writes funny, witty, quite acerbic poems, often self-deprecating. And her novels are very good as well. They've been published in the UK as well. She's an international writer. And she likes music. She likes to dance, so she'll certainly dance during our tune. And I'm very curious what subject she'll choose. And it's always difficult for us because we have to go by somebody else's choice of subject, right?
Exactly.
And then we have to think of... Jesus, what three songs do I... Anyway, so that's all next week.
All righty. Well, thank you for listening as long as you have, if you have. Please, in this case particularly, do send us suggestions of songs that we might have missed that are about kissing or encourage kissing. Our email is perfectsongfour@gmail.com. And we're on all the socials and stuff like that. Thank you for listening, Fred. And I hope you don't get waterlogged and blown away.
Over yet. So we're bracing ourselves for the third cold front.
Yeah.
Okay. See you next week.
Okay.
Now the party's over. I'm so tired. Then I see you coming out of nowhere. Much communication in emotion. Without conversation or a notion.